Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Answering the Call, offering a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of local priests, deacons, and religious. And now, Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hi, and thanks for joining us here on Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and delighted that you're joining us today. My guest today is no stranger to being on the radio. This was his original career track before he answered God's call to something very different, the Catholic priesthood. He's Father Michael Hartshey. He's one of our newest priests in the diocese, ordained this past May with five other young men. So first, I want to welcome you, Father Hartshey, to Answering the Call.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Good to be here.
And of course, first and foremost, congratulations on recent ordination.
Thank you. Can't believe it's here.
I happened to be at that event, and it was absolutely beautiful. Just a beautiful setting at St. Paul's in Westerville. The music was amazing. A day like that really makes you feel proud to be Catholic. And that was from my view as kind of a bystander watching it. And we'll talk about your ordination day, because I'm sure it was something very special to you, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as I was there, Father, there were the six of you priests were giving your first blessing to people, which is always awesome. I always jump online for that. And you were also handing out your ordination cards. And I noticed that yours thanked your family for helping you to the Holy Altar. So let's start with them, because obviously they had, and it sounds like they probably continue to have, an important influence on you. So talk a little bit about your family.
Yeah, sure, Elizabeth. Well, I'm from a family of one of four kids. My parents, Frank and Judy, have been married, I think, 33 years now this summer, coming up at the end of July anyway. I have an older brother, Frank. He's the only one of us who's married, and he's got three boys and one more on the way at this point, and a younger sister, Molly, and a younger brother, Joe. And they've all just been, and that's my immediate family anyway, and they've always been very supportive, you know, of my vocation. Anytime I would, you know, kind of, you know, bring it up, or, you know, this and that, go back and forth as, you know, as a boy, then through high school and college. So they've been aware and very supportive. And then otherwise, you know, briefly too, my extended family, my mom's from a big family, one of seven. My dad's just got two other brothers, so he's one of three. But on both sides, yeah, just been very supportive of my vocation. And on top of that, in a special way too, two of my mother's uncles are priests. One, Father Rustikowski, he's a diocesan priest in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And then Father Tom Casey, SJ, Jesuit, living out in St. Louis now. So both of them are yeah, very supportive. Got a chance to, you know, grow pretty close to them, especially growing up, but also in my time at seminary, just, you know, this common experience. So they've been very supportive of me through all that, too. So
how did your family live out their Catholicity at home?
Sure. Pretty average, you know, but like in a good way. It was just a very, like, you know, average, like, Catholic household that tried to, you know, tried to pray together, tried to make it, you know, a domestic church as we, you know, keep, you know, reading about it and hear about in the documents, without it being, you know, too explicit, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. We never, you know, talked about, oh, this is going to be a domestic church or whatever, but just, you know, always praying before meals, mm-hmm. and then the prayers before bed at nighttime, especially growing up. So those were two big things in the home, and then just impressing upon us the importance of going to Mass every Sunday. So we had those things, like the prayer in the home, at least, you know, those couple of times, and before meals and before bed, and then Sunday Mass. And then, you know, like most families, Advent comes around, and we try to, you know, do the Advent wreath, and then mm-hmm. you might do it one or two weeks, and then just kind of...
one candle, yeah, still tall.
Exactly. So, you know, we try those things, and then Lent is, okay, we're going to pray rosary together as a family, and then you just lose steam or whatever and get busy, but you try. And yeah. I think that always... left an impression on me that we tried, and I was familiar with those sorts of things, with, you know, at least trying to pray the rosary in the home, at least, you know, at that time of the year, and trying to do the Advent wreath, those sorts of little things. So yeah, so there was definitely prayer in the household, but Sunday Mass, yeah, I can't miss Sunday Mass. So yeah.
Awesome. Now, yeah. You attended parochial school at St. Matthew's, even though you lived in Reynoldsburg, because that's where your parents could get all of you kids in school simultaneously, and mm-hmm. so that would become your parish, your school. And we've had priests on the program, you know, of all ages, and so who went to school in different decades of history. And some went through Catholic school at times when there was strong catechesis, others not so much. What would you say your overall catechesis was like in the K through 8 time frame?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm very grateful for, first of all, the sacrifice my parents made to send me to parochial schools. And, you know, I think at that period of time, so I was in at St. Matthew's in the 90s, from 92 to 99. You know, I'd say it was good and strong in the sense of you had an idea of, you know, at least memorizing the Ten Commandments, memorizing the Beatitudes. Like, so you're catechized in this way, knowing the seven sacraments and at least, you know, minimally kind of what they are and what they do. I remember in, like, fourth grade, that was a big thing. We'd go through and memorize, you know, all those things and get little stickers or whatever. And so as far as that kind of like rote memorization and having a basic understanding of that, I'm you know, pretty pleased. And most importantly, knowing the doctrine of the Christ's real presence in the Blessed Sacrament.
That's huge.
And for us, yeah, as Catholics, like foundationally, to know that and to understand that and to have a reverence for it is incredibly important. And we certainly got that in my experience in parochial schools. I had a pretty good understanding. It was good for what it was and for the time it was. Like you said, I got very good things to say about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and one day, God willing, you'll be a pastor at a church that will likely have a parochial school. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you'd like to see emphasized more in terms of catechesis for young people today?
Well, especially right now in this day and age, I think we can never talk too much about, like, the dignity of the person. Mm-hmm. And you can do that, I think, in many ways for children as they grow up and kind of address that at many different age levels. But I think that's going to be incredibly important. It is important right now to kind of talk to them about the dignity of the person. And with that, there are many avenues you can take, like marriage, for instance, and how, you know, what a wonderful and blessed institution that is, and how, you know, how much respect a husband and wife have to have for each other. And you can sort of start kids, you know, thinking about that in less explicit ways when they're younger, but then more and more when they get up to, you know, seventh, eighth grade, and then in the high school age, just like talking to them about marriage, the dignity of marriage, and how they need to be thinking about that, you know, right now as children. And, you know, the church would call that sort of that remote preparation for marriage, which unfortunately we haven't been getting much of, but I think that's all part of it. So, you know, we hear a lot about the beginning of life, dignity of the human person and end of life issues. But yeah, talking about them, like right now, how it affects them as Catholics now is something that I'd like to see, you know, maybe stronger in the schools, and something that might be important to me as a pastor.
Yeah, so. Well, certainly be a foundational mm-hmm. For any conversation I think you'd have mm-hmm. in any aspect of the faith. So, Father Hartshey, would you say that during that K through 8 time, was that when maybe the first thoughts of being a priest occurred to you?
Yeah, certainly. You know, it's always kind of interesting. We knew Father Ross growing up when we go up to Milwaukee and that kind of stuff to visit family. So I had a pretty good idea of, like, what priests were like, you know, outside of the church, outside of Sunday Mass and stuff. So that was always kind of nice. And then once I started altar serving on fifth or sixth grade at St. Matthew's, just doing that, kind of thinking like this is pretty interesting. I'm you know, drawn to this in some way, and so I think those little seeds, little questions, you know, kind of were if not planted, starting to you know, to be, you know, cared for, I guess, at that time, you know, kind of, you know, I guess, middle school, whatever you call that, fifth or sixth grade when we started altar serving. And yeah.
Okay. And then you attended St. Charles for high school.
Mm-hmm.
So did the thought of priesthood continue, or did other interests develop?
Both. Yeah, it certainly continued, you know, through high school. I remember my friends and I would joke around, because I think it was like freshman year at St. Charles, they would send around things like stuff you're interested, like career wise. And I'm not sure if it was strictly for the priesthood or not, but so you checked different boxes. And mm-hmm. if you checked that you were interested in the priesthood, all of a sudden, like, you know, you're on the, like, some kind of vocation mailing list. And now, you know, all through high school, then we'd get these letters. And so my friends and I would still, joke around about that. Like, they would get these things in the mail. But, so it certainly continued in high school. And then, but also, you know, developing other interests, like, you know, for instance, you know, you talk about, okay, you know, we're on this, our local radio station here, St. Gabriel, but, you know, always kind of been a big listener of like CD 101. It was CD 101 back then and kind of that kind of music and 102.5 now. But, and so, you know, developing an interest in like kind of the music that they're playing and like the style of the DJs. And it's like, you know, that might be kind of a cool thing. And like, I might like to do that. So you got the priesthood thing and then you got the radio thing and, you know, high school progresses and you got to start making decisions on what, you know, what you're going to do with your life, where you're going to go to college. And so yeah, I had certainly the thought of the priesthood there.
Did you have anyone that you talked to about the priesthood, at least that one, the avenue, a teacher, a priest, a classmate, you know, that you could kind of share your thoughts about?
Yeah, it might have come up with teachers. Because I'm friendly with, I guess, a number of the teachers I had there, too, thankfully. We're still keep in touch and still friends. But, you know, one person in particular that I remember talking to about it, we were sitting in our physics class, and Father Ty Thompson, he's been ordained about 4 years now. He and I were high school classmates. And so, you know, before or after class or something, we were just sitting in our desks and talking about the priesthood. And I remember that, you know, pretty vividly, and he was very much assured of his vocation at that point. And I was obviously much more on the fence. And so, you know, we were kind of talking about the priesthood, and I remember him. He's good. He's always been very good at trying to, you know, convince people of certain things. But so we were sitting and talking, and he was like, well, I mean, if guys want to become a doctor, they would naturally like go to medical school or something, or go to college and be pre-med to see if they want to be a doctor. So he was saying like, shouldn't you just go to seminary? And if you think you want to be a priest, to go see if that's what you want to do. And it's a good argument. I mean, it's a strong argument, but yeah, at that point, you know, and I thought about it and I just wasn't really ready to make that commitment. And we can get into that later, I'm sure, if you're going to ask. But yeah, so at that point I was like, well, I mean, it makes sense, but I'm just not ready, you know, to go to seminary.
Now, did do a live-in weekend at the Josephinum. Did that give you a little bit of clarity?
And I can't remember if our conversation was before or after that, because unfortunately, like, it didn't help, you know, too much, like, I guess, convince me that way. Like, so we did the live-in weekend. That was like the fall of my senior year. And yeah, we had a great time. So we're living for basically Thursday to Sunday at the Josephinum. You know, went to some classes on Friday, and you know, got to have pizza with Father Hoover. At the time was the vocations director, so he came, and you know, we're just kind of, you know, hanging out with the guys, the prospective guys who were there, and some of the other seminarians. I remember actually Father Adam Streitenberger was like a senior in the college there, so like there's, and Father Vince Wynn actually was still in the college, so. I hadn't thought about that in a while. So there's a few of these guys who are in the college seminary and who are now priests of the Diocese of Columbus. And but I remember leaving that weekend thinking, like, okay, might be cool. I might like being a seminarian. I'm still not sure if I want to, like, if I could be a priest or, like, really want to live the life of a priest. So you know, I went, like, I left thankful for the experience, but yeah, just not sold on it when for some reason. Couldn't quite make that jump.
But, okay.
Yeah.
We're talking with Father Michael Hartshee. He's a newly ordained priest for the Diocese of Columbus. He'll be serving at a consortium of parishes, including St. Peter's and Chillicothe, which we'll get to in this interview. But he's our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. So, Father, by the time high school graduation approached, you had come to a decision to pursue college and a career in radio broadcasting. So you selected Ohio University in Athens to pursue a Bachelor's of Science degree in communications, to certainly a good school, to secular school. What happened to your faith life in college? A lot of times that might be a time when people drift.
Yeah, I'd say in college, oh, thank God, I at least went to Mass on Sundays, you know, and that was... about it. You know, you pray at certain times, especially around exam time or whatever. I mean, so you have some semblance of a prayer life, but I was able to you know, with certainly regularity. I'm sure there were days, you know, weeks that I missed, you know, missed Mass or whatever. But yeah, I was you know, connected to the church that way of going to Mass on Sundays, and then just otherwise kind of maybe like compartmentalizing, you know, my faith more, and just kind of like, okay, so I'll go to Mass on Sundays. This is what I've always done. This is important to me, more or less, you know, feel guilty or whatever if you miss. So like, you know, it's on that kind of basic, you know, basic surface level of the faith without that real, I guess, deep relationship with Christ that I'm so grateful to enjoy now. So kept up my faith on that level, I guess. And you know, and just looking back now, like that's just, you go to Mass, if you can go to Mass on Sundays and in a university setting like that, the Lord's going to, you know, thankfully keep you close to Him and hopefully keep you out of trouble. So,
so it sounds like you kind of had a casual relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe a good description is kind of casual.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
The tests, you know, sure. Test week got a little bit more intimate.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. So you you complete your mm-hmm. Degree then. And then you'd go off to some real life experience in radio. You mm-hmm. were in Nelsonville, Ohio. Ohio.
Yep.
At WAIS and WSEO, mm-hmm. and then 14 months in Charlotte, North Carolina, at WSGE. What were you doing there, and did you find this work fulfilling?
Well, okay. Well, what I was doing there was year in Nelsonville, it was morning news and sales. So it was basically just like, I was like, okay, good. I got a radio job. This isn't exactly what I wanted to do, but you know, in this business, so you just got to do, you know, you got yourself a job. You got to do what you got to do to kind of get to that next job and hopefully move up. So, you know, early mornings, 5 a.m. to 2 for a little over a year, was pretty interesting. And then when I was down in North Carolina, I got the job that I was basically doing in college, and at that time too, I was very much encouraged by a priest of our diocese that I had a vocation. After, you know, I had many conversations, and he finally said, you know, I think you do have a vocation, and you know, just wanted to let me know that. And I said, okay, well, I just did get offered this job, so you know, it would really benefit me, I think, to see if I wanted to stay in this industry, in this career. Because it was a job that was very much like being music director, okay? Be a music director at an afternoon drive DJ, and I was a music director in college, and I really liked that. I liked the people I worked with, I liked, you know, the work that I was doing, and I felt like I was, you know, fairly good at it or whatever. And so I said, okay, this will probably be a good test. I've you know, heard from this trusted priest friend that that he thinks I have a vocation, and now I'm gonna see about this job, which is basically the same work that I was doing in college when I was sort of enjoying it more. So I thought that'd be a good test, and I was going to give myself a year down there, and So I think during that year is when I started to pursue more the avenue of at least entering seminary.
And so it sounds like there was something not fulfilling mm-hmm. in the race. There was something you know, missing.
Yeah,
and was that the impetus then that got you to actually fill out the application, actually go through the process, and be accepted?
Well, I think that was a big part of it, Elizabeth, because I was certainly not fulfilled doing the radio thing. It was good enough, and I thought, well, okay, maybe if I do this for a few years and then you know move up or move to a different radio station or whatever, you know, I'll kind of like it. But there was always that kind of that, you know, first of all, that sort of gentle like tug of the priesthood in the back of my mind, thinking like, okay, I'm not really enjoying this as much as I thought I would. But I don't know what else I want to do. It was like, I'm not really enjoying this, and I still think I, you know, should be a priest or at least try seminary. So, and kind of, you know, thinking like, okay, this radio thing is nice, but maybe I should be doing more. And so that more, I guess, was the priesthood. But I, so just kind of, going back and forth, trying to pray about it.
Well, and like in the words of Father Ty Thompson, you know, why not try that avenue? So, you know, you would go to the Josephinum. You mm-hmm. had to do 2 years of pre-theology, and then you do that. That went okay, and then mm-hmm. the next 4 years in undergrad. This is where people will discern: is this for me or not? So, for mm-hmm. your 6 years there, that process, were there any major obstacles? Any, you know, doubts? Maybe this isn't right, or was it just more and more an affirmation with each year?
It was certainly, as looking back, there was more and more affirmation each year, but those first couple of years certainly weren't without their struggles. I mean, I kind of knew in the back of my mind I was in the right place, you know, probably doing the right thing, but you're just still, it's a very new thing. And so you're just kind of, you know, wondering, you know, learning about the life, learning about what, first of all, what it is to be a seminarian, and then, you know, sort of some proximate, you know, preparation for being a priest. So it was certainly more and more confirming each year, but adjusting to seminary life had its struggles or whatever, especially after, you know, having an apartment in college for a couple of years at the end of college and then living on my own for 2 years after that. So now all of a sudden I'm living with 150 other guys and you're not only living together, but praying together and eating together and recreating together and all this stuff. So going to class, you know, the same guys for basically 6 years. I mean, so.
That's a big adjustment, especially when you've had that taste of freedom.
Yeah.
Can you describe for us your calling? Calling is something that's so personal for different people. Some people get what I call God's billboards. Other people, and it sounds like this is more in your case, I think the majority of people, it's a much more subtle thing. Mm-hmm. What was it for you?
Yeah, just, the best way probably to describe it would just be just like a constant, gentle, like tug, like just little... Yeah, like a constant thing that never really went away. Like from like all those years back, being, you know, sixth, seventh grade or whatever, you know, altar surfing and having that interest and thinking it might be something I'd like to do, being more like in the front of my mind, and then, you know, different times in high school in the front of your mind, and then sometimes in the back of the mind. So, you know, it's just this constant little like little tug, little reminders that this is what the Lord is asking me to do. And when that prayer life, you know, deepens and increases and stuff, it becomes a little bit more apparent. But yeah, I just say a constant, gentle, tugging, that he can't really shake, I guess. So
then, would it be fair to say that as you're going through that 6 years at the Josephinum, that it was, yes, this is right. There wasn't that, oh, maybe I need to go back to the career again. Was there an aha moment or just I'm in. I'm. This is it.
Yeah, that's good. I don't think, I wish I could remember if there was, but I'm sure if there was, I would remember. But yeah, no real aha moment, just more of like, after like a couple years into it, just really settling in and realizing it's like, okay, I'm going to be a priest. You know, this is something that I think I've wanted for a long time. And you just kind of, you know, settle in and become pretty comfortable with that.
Well, your ordination day was just recently. So it's got to be still fresh in your mind. What were your thoughts, your emotions when that day finally came?
Kind of disbelief that it's actually here, especially that whole weekend. It was really like disbelief that this day is here. Something, you know, not only were we kind of looking forward to and preparing for the 6 years in seminary, but the time before seminary, like in high school, college, like the should I or shouldn't I, and something that's been on my mind for a long time to finally, you know, to see it come to fruition was surreal at times. But then, yeah, also on the day, just to see, you know, a lot of friends and family who have supported me so well over the years, to see them, see how excited they were, and, you know, see them getting choked up and it makes me choke up, you know, that kind of stuff. This is all even before the Mass. Like, it was just, really, really beautiful day, beautiful weekend.
And then your very first Mass was at St. Matthew's, where you went to school, you grew up.
Yeah.
How was that?
Well, and I got to say, too, but the first Mass, as Bishop Campbell always says, is with the bishops.
So, that's right.
So, but everyone says, yeah. So it was
and you even had a speaking part at the ordination.
Which was very, I was, very, very happy about that. But typical to call it the first Mass of Thanksgiving, sure. But Bishop Campbell always likes to remind us, like, your first Mass is with me the ordination. That's
okay.
Good.
So you're second.
But the Mass of Thanksgiving, yeah, was with, it was a really beautiful moment. You know, it wasn't the actual like physical church building I grew up in that was finished actually when I was in college. But you know, I still very much have it's still my home parish. So and I've, you know, been familiar with that church building now for 10 years. And so it's it was a beautiful day, and the music was beautiful, and in particular we had not only, you know, I'm very grateful for the friends and family that came, but the church was full. Like, there's just this wonderful support from the parish was incredible to see. And all my priest friends that came, there was a number of priests there. But one aspect of the music that was particularly meaningful was this third grade choir that they put together, and they sang the Ave Maria as like a communion meditation.
Beautiful.
So, you know, get these third graders there, and it was just, like angelic. Aww. It was beautiful. So incredibly memorable.
What a memory.
Mass of Thanksgiving for me. So, yeah.
All right. Last question. What's your goal for your priesthood?
Gosh.
In about 30 seconds.
Okay. Is it that quickly? Yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah, just really to be a good priest and to enter into my assignment wherever I am. I love this diocese, and just wherever I'm sent, you know, I know the bishop prays about where he needs me as a priest, and to just trust in the Lord and trust my bishop and my brother priests that they're here with me, supporting me in this, and to be a good priest wherever I'm sent, and just to be able to minister to the people to whom I'm sent. So that's my goal.
The people down Chillicothe will be very blessed by you, Father Hartshe.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
And will you leave us with your blessing?
Sure. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you. And truly, God bless you on your first assignment. And we look forward to hearing good things about your work down there.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
I'm Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Tune in on Tuesdays and Sundays at 12:30 for another edition of the program. In the meantime, have a very wonderful week. God bless.
Answering the Call is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte Spiritus, Veni Penaria.
They share the most intimate moments of life and death with us. They pour the water of life into our souls. They feed us with living bread from heaven. They're waiting in the confessional to unburden us from sin. They receive the vows that transform man and woman into husband and wife. They're with us when we're sick, our final escorts from time into eternity. Greed, sexism, and abuse don't sum up the priesthood. The average priest makes under $35,000 a year. Jesus ordained men, but women never had to be priests to be important in the church. And there were 9 credible allegations of child abuse in 2013. That's out of about 40,000 U.S. priests. 1 is too many, but 9 don't define the rest. One word sums up the priesthood: love. Not the flawed love of human beings, the love of God, who promised that he'd always be with us and who reaches out and touches the world today through his priests. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.